Hi, welcome to this Right on Crime podcast. We're happy today to have United States Congressman Ted Poe with us. Ted Poe represents Texas's 2nd Congressional District in the United States House. He's been a member since 2005, which is when he founded the Congressional Victims Rights Caucus. He's a graduate of Abilene Christian University and the University of Houston Law School. He's also a former Harris County prosecutor and judge who became quite famous for his creative sentencing several years ago. Representative Poe, thank you for being on with us today.
Thank you for Grant.
Representative Poe, let me start by asking you, what exactly is the Congressional Victims Rights Caucus?
When I got to Congress, I realized that there were no really strong groups, members of Congress, that advocated on behalf of crime victims. So myself and Jim Costa, a Democrat from California, we started the Bipartisan Victim Rights Caucus to promote on the national scale the rights of crime victims, to bring more awareness as to the plight of victims throughout the country, and of course to develop and pass legislation that protects victims, helps victims of crime on the national scale.
How did you first become interested in victims' rights?
Well, after spending 30 years at the criminal courts building down in Houston, first 8 years as a prosecutor, and then 22 years as a felony court judge, I became aware of the tremendous amount of pain and suffering that is occurring against that other group of people that appear at the courthouse besides defendants, and that's victims of crime. How they were treated, how the justice system mistreated them many times, how that they became victimized more than once, and became very sympathetic to their plight because their voice really, in my opinion, has not been heard. So getting here to Congress, I wanted to make sure that they had advocates on the national level here in Washington, both Republicans and Democrats, to advocate on their behalf. And this includes all victims of crime, but primarily we're focused on children and human trafficking at this time.
Well, what barriers to victims' rights, victims' interests, and victims' restitution have you seen in our criminal justice system?
A crime was committed. Many times the victim was treated like the defendant, and the defendant was treated like the victim socially. It was backwards. The victims are victims of crime. A society should look after them, take care of them, and really make sure that they get justice at the courthouse as well. That would occur how they would be continued to be victimized. Sometimes they would report a crime, the suspect could be arrested, make a light bond, be back on the streets, commit a crime against the victim or someone else again. Many times after the trial would start, the victim was treated poorly at the trial, not allowed to sit in the courtroom, not allowed to address the defendant at sentencing. And those things over the years in Texas, thank goodness, have changed. More awareness as to the justice system balancing the rights of defendants with the rights of victims. And it was important, I thought, that we do that on the national scale as well, because victims, especially child victims of crime, it's in the national interest that we take care of that resource, that wonderful resource, that's our children.
One of the things that we work on here at Right on Crime is victims' restitution. Restitution can come in a lot of different ways. When you were a judge, you became nationally prominent for some of your creative sentencing techniques to lead to victims' restitution. Can you talk a bit about that?
The first responsibility of a defendant, if convicted, is to get it right with the victim. Sometimes that means going to prison, but other times it means a form of restitution. And that's more than just a monetary compensation to the victim. I would require, for example, killers who had murdered someone, that when that person's in prison serving their prison time, that they post on their wall a photograph of the victim that they had murdered, giving them a daily reminder that they had committed the worst crime in our society. That's taken a human life. Maybe they changed their attitude about lives and about their conduct. That's a form of restitution. That's not a monetary form, but it tended to be very effective, and the families of murder victims appreciate that type of sentencing. On other types of cases, I would require, for example, a person steal a car. If he damaged the car or destroyed it, that if it came came to court, the offender would be required to give his vehicle to the victim of the crime until the victim had been compensated either by the insurance company or had obtained another vehicle. So I would let them know that restitution means that you've got to give up your property to help this victim that you victimized. And it was required individuals to pay child support if a crime was committed, for example, against a child. There would be some type of child support that would be involved through the parents that the victim would receive. So the restitution takes many different forms, and including even a thief that would steal from a store would be required to go out in front of the store and carry a sign stating, I stole from this store, don't be a thief, or you will carry this sign. That was a form of restitution. It got public attention, public punishment, public humiliation. All those things worked. And lastly, DWI victims, people who drink and drive, society still has a problem with realizing that that is criminal conduct. I would make drunk driving victims, especially those of means, wealthy folks, go out on the street where they were captured drinking and driving and carry a sign. I drove drunk on the street, don't drink and drive. So different forms of punishment to fit the crime, but all of those in the name of restitution.
What exactly has the caucus accomplished so far?
We have done more than just bringing awareness to the plight of crime victims. And when I mention victims, I also want to mention our first responders. We take on that responsibility in the Victims' Rights Caucus to advocate on behalf of first responders who become victims of crime as well. I guess the first important piece of legislation was the Adam Walsh Child Safety Act, which passed Congress, the House, signed by the President, that requires registration on the national level of sex offenders. In 2005, there were, unfortunately, several crimes committed against young children by predators who had already been convicted of sex crimes, but they weren't registered on a national database. So they were moved from state to state. Once they moved to another state, nobody knew who they were. And this Adam Walsh Child Safety Act makes those predators register on a national database and requires a federal reporting, and if they don't, there's federal penalties. So that's the first piece of legislation, and there have been others since then. The new real scourge that's taking place internationally and has crept into the United States is the trafficking, human trafficking, the human slavery of young children, primarily young women, talking about 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, that are smuggled into the United States. Many of them are promised with the that they will receive some type of job. They get here, they find out they're nothing more than unwilling participants in the sex trade. Houston, because of its location, has become one of the hubs of the United States where young women are trafficked to Houston, smuggled in, and then sent throughout the United States by these slave traders. We want to do everything we can first to rescue those young women, treat them as victims and not as criminals, and then punish not only the customer but the slave trader, make sure that there are adequate laws to capture those people internationally and to prosecute them. There are not enough shelters in the United States for women, young women that are in that category. We have very few, just a handful of beds to take care of those women. It's a very unfortunate situation. So we need more resources to take care of those, house those young women, rescue them, get them out of that situation, and then prosecute the perpetrators. That's what we're working on right now.
Well, finally, Congressman Poe, as you know, this is National Crime Victims' Rights Week, and I just want to give you the chance to offer any thoughts you have on this week and its significance, if you'd like.
It is vital that we continue to have a national awareness of victims and what they go through. Many times they live in a silence of horror because of the things that have happened to them. We're judged as a culture by the way we treat, not by the way we treat the rich, the famous, the wealthy, the important folks, but by the way we treat the innocent folks, by the way we treat children, by the way we treat the elderly, by the way we treat victims of crime. That's how we're judged. So we need to continue to remember that and take care of those innocents who have had crimes committed against them, because justice is what we do in this country.